It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Apparently, two women were busted trying to smuggle more than 100 wild animals on an international flight. How is that even possible? We'll find out the details. At Flex 30, Longhorn football gets another commitment over the weekend. And in mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling. Cameron Parker is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. We had a little long weekend ourselves. Hopefully you got to spend some time with friends and family. Hopefully you were able to avoid any burning situations, both yourself or grass areas or houses or things like that. I know there was some of that going on around the state, so please, hopefully you were good there. Hope everybody's safe and sound. We get into a lot of college football discussion today with this realignment discussion. I think that may be where we end up with this next guest. It's the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Even though he is sitting right over there, as he is every Tuesday, it is Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com. But not just that, kids. There's another After Hours event going on, and the tickets sold like crazy for the first one. It sold out almost instantaneously. It was like a Harry Styles concert. So you need to go to @JeffWardShow on Twitter to get your tickets for the event on the 13th. That's a week from tomorrow over at Perdinalis Station Studios. How are you, sir?
Just like Harry Styles.
Oh,
just like him.
I hear the energy is exactly the
exactly
same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Could you pull off any of those outfits?
No.
No, me either.
No.
It's crazy.
No.
Absolutely not.
It really is.
What is he wearing white before Memorial Day or something?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
He's wearing everything. He wears everything and anything.
I don't know. I think I might admire it. I don't know. It's pretty impressive to pull off.
No, he is impressive. That's that when you're that good looking and when you've got. I mean,
are you going to keep this up? I mean,
he's just you know.
You seem really into this for all of a sudden.
I am going to the show. I'm going to one of the shows.
I'm leaving.
No,
I'm leaving.
He's got a teenage daughter that's straight into Harry Styles' wheelhouse.
My daughter's a big fan, I'm being a good dad.
I'll give you a pass on that. Okay.
There we go. There we go.
I was about to leave otherwise.
There it is.
You know, if you go and sit there by yourself, I'm out.
All right. So make sure to get your tickets for this event next week. We'll remind you again. Obviously, the biggest story going on right now in the world of college football is they just can't stop talking realignment, Jeff Ward. Why won't this ever stop? Is this just going to continue the rest of our lives?
Well, we're going to run out, so no, it's not going to last that much longer because we're going to run out of programs and places to go. It's not even realignment. It's mergers and acquisitions is what it really is. Mm. And the Big Ten, which is 20 or 30 or whatever it's going to be, it's a brilliant move. I mean, you got to break this down into – collegiate athletics as amateur athletics is a joke. It is a non-starter. It is non-existent. This industry is trying to act like the NFL, and frankly, they're not very good at it, but they're going to try and spend money like drunken sailors. That's what they're going to do. But if you're just looking at this as a media acquisition, and the media world is eyeballs and qualified eyeballs, the Big Ten pulled off the move of all moves. Texas fans are going to hate what I'm about to say. That's where Texas should be.
In the Big Ten.
It's a better deal. Going to be more money and more like-minded schools.
I don't know if it's going to be more money, but I think you're right about the like-mindedness of the
schools. You think it's going to be more money than what the 16-team SEC can produce?
Well, once these guys are done, and the reason why is they didn't just go acquire, you know, stop thinking in terms of being a football fan and think in terms of being a media acquisition. The media acquisition here is now going to contain the biggest television markets in the United States. The SEC is not going to have that. That is small-town America. This is giant metro areas, and that's what they went after. And they pulled it off masterfully. This is not about the Michigan hockey team going to Southern California to play a game. This is about the acquisition of eyeballs. And they pulled it off in a way that I didn't see coming. I did not see. I used to think that this would have been the Pac-12. This is what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were well positioned to do it. And the first domino for the Pac-12, in my opinion, as a media acquisition, should have been Texas years ago. That would have been my first acquisition to start the ball rolling. That didn't happen. I think Texas and Oklahoma freaked a little bit and took the first big buyer, and they went to the SEC. And I think the Big Ten said, well, we lost that one, but we're not going to sit around and wait. And they chased those eyeballs and pulled it off. And I don't think they're done yet, and I think they're going to finish up with Notre Dame.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And if I were Notre Dame and I were trying to count up the dollars, first of all, I would not be walking down the hall. I'd be talking to media executives saying, in the end, what's this going to be worth? If they pull off Chicago, L.A., Seattle, Portland, what's this going to be worth? It's going to be worth a lot, and it should be, because these are the best eyeballs that you can find.
What about this notion that the Big 12 now may be looking at Pac-12 teams, including Oregon and Washington?
You have no choice. What are you going to do, sit around today and say, well, Texas Tech will carry us? No way. I think the idea what they're going to pull off is – it's going to be life-saving. Either you go and chase down some bigger for the Big 12. Again, not talking about football. I don't care about that right now. Talking about media acquisitions. You better go chase Phoenix. You need that market. That's what this is. This is posturing to sell advertising for enough money so you can make enough money.
So that's why you go Arizona and Arizona State.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Colorado is about Denver.
I think Colorado, too. I mean, although I don't, you know, it's arguable how much that market they really carry, but that's what you got to chase, because when you sit down at a table with a spreadsheet, I'm living this right now myself. You sit down at a table with a spreadsheet, you're sitting in front of someone and you're turning eyeballs and ears into dollars. And that's what you're doing right now with a spreadsheet. And to do that on the front end, you've got to have bigger markets. That's where I think the SEC, in the end, as they continue to act like the NFL, I think it's going to end up being less money. And I wouldn't pay as much. I'd go pay for the big markets. That's what they do. So I think it's brilliant. I mean, if you're a purist, it's idiotic. And I think if you're a Tech fan or an Oklahoma State fan, you should be terrified. You're going to be left second tier or third tier.
Yeah, ultimately where the Big 12 gets left here. I guess, so for, would you agree the Pac-12... is the Pac-12 just ultimately going to fade away and everybody gets picked off? And then the Big 12 is just going to have to try to survive in some form?
I think you're going to know in a week. I mean, whoever can make these next series of moves, right? So you've got the giant players here now. And it's going to be – and I think those dominoes fall pretty quickly. So whatever Notre Dame does, which I mean, I'm sure they're counting up the dollars themselves right now and they're listening – so whatever Notre Dame does is sort of, the next domino that has to fall here. And if the Big Ten, which is 20 or whatever it's going to be, pulls it off, then I think then everyone else should start to panic and start gobbling up what you can as fast as you can. Or otherwise, in a week or a month, you're going to be left for dead. And that may be the Pac-12, that may be the Big 12, that may be the ACC. They're the ones now, if they don't react immediately and gobble up some markets, they're toast. I mean, this is the day we all knew was coming.
Yeah, they're probably.
We all knew this was coming. I just don't think we saw it happening quite this way.
Yeah, I didn't see USC going to the Big
absolutely
10.
Not.
I wasn't thinking of that.
I think they pulled that off masterfully.
I think these moves were set in motion as soon as the alliance, which was really George Klyevkov pulling these strings behind the scenes, voted against college football playoff expansion in the immediate future. Thus denying those Pac-12 schools that cut of the billion-plus dollars that was going to be made from an expanded college football playoff, while also guaranteeing at least one team in that conference a shot at said playoff.
Yeah.
At that point, they look and said, well, a lot of people are blaming Larry Scott for the position that we're in right now, the lack of money we're receiving, which is totally valid, by the way.
Yeah.
This clown is no better, so we may as well jump ship to someplace that's actually going to line our pockets in the process.
Yeah, I mean, it's greed, and some could argue justifiable greed right now. And you better get greedy right now. In fact, I think the SEC, you better not wait around. I'd be on the phone with North Carolina as fast as I could.
I saw that over the weekend.
I mean, I would be doing it now, because that's another big market. You cannot let the big market start to drop. And I know people hate hearing, oh, what do you talk about advertising? It's what you have to do, particularly if you're the SEC. You know, the SEC bought itself some money with Texas because of the markets. The next round would be Charlotte, would be the smart thing to do.
Right.
Don't tell me Clemson and stuff like that. It's not going to make you money.
Because that's not the market.
Right, exactly. Right. So you got to go and start chasing those. And it doesn't matter where they are. But I would, assuming that the Big Ten pulls off a Notre Dame deal, the next best program that carries a market, I could argue, would be North Carolina or even Georgia Tech. Although I don't know if anybody cares.
Because Georgia Tech gets you Atlanta.
Yeah, you see what
big
I'm saying? Is right now you're chasing a spreadsheet. for my next TV negotiation. I need to be able to have a spreadsheet that says, ooh, look at all those eyeballs. Okay, we'll do that deal. And so you got to do that right now. That's why I think the Big 12, who is typically pretty stupid, I think is a life-saving move to go and get the Arizona schools.
Yeah, I think they're also just trying to throw as much against the wall as possible right now, too.
Wouldn't you?
And there is a tact that is involved with that strategy, I think, more so than what they're exhibiting right now. Because if you're going and trying to poach Pac-12 schools, I think you have to go for Oregon first and foremost, even understanding the idea of going and getting that Phoenix market. Phoenix is a bit of a melting pot with regards to where college football fans are coming in from. So
women's soccer game going from, Stillwater to Eugene, it's going to be a good investment.
I mean, Eugene, I think, is actually overrated as a college town. But because Oregon is tied directly into Nike, you have to take that into consideration as well.
I mean, what's interesting is, so you would assume it's a mad scramble because it has to be, right? And if you're running these leagues, you got to go and gobble up all the real estate you can. I think the interesting storyline right now is, if you're Oregon, are you telling everybody no, hoping the Big Ten calls, or are you on the phone with the Big Ten? If you're Carolina, are you telling the ACC, say, I don't want to talk to you right now, let me think about things? If you're Colorado, the same. There's some of these schools that I think or Washington would be another one. Is that, you got the Seattle market, is that what the Big Ten is going to try to do next?
It's possible.
See, and I keep thinking also, I know sometimes agreements don't matter and you can get out of them, but there's certain agreements in these things. Like, one, the alliance that Trey referenced earlier. I mean, what does it say to you that the Big Ten is about to do this to the Pac-12, or they're supposed to be in an alliance together along with the ACC? Those three, Jeff, they had to sign some paperwork.
No, and it was an oral agreement the entire time. They came out and said that
so
at the beginning.
So they have no paper?
Zero paper.
Oh, look, never mind then. Never mind.
Chad, this is the same industry in which a coach will tell a 17-year-old, I'll be here forever.
You're right.
Are you kidding me?
You're right.
This is the biggest bunch of hypocrites and lousy business people and slimy people this side of politics. They lie to each other all the time. Their whole world is built on lying to each other.
The other thing I'm watching is the ACC, because I think there are some pretty ironclad agreements in terms of media rights, where if you try to leave the ACC right now, I think some of the media rights never leave.
Yeah.
Like, they stay at the Charlotte office forever. Yeah. I don't think you get control of that. So a team, if a Florida State or a North Carolina or something like that,
Miami, if
you're really considering a move, I think there's something in there that you may have signed on to that I'm not sure if a lawyer can get you out of.
Yeah.
But they may not care.
I don't know that anyone right now is going to care. I think they're going to go, let's find a home. Let's get rich now. Oh, the legal documents, whatever. We'll deal with that later. I mean, Miami's another one sitting out there. If you're the SEC, why are you not talking to them?
There's plenty of – it's a great question.
I mean,
they should be –
right now, if I'm the SEC, I'm looking at these certain programs of certain markets, and I'm going, I got to go now, because if the Big Ten goes and pulls off Washington, Notre Dame, they've just gobbled up a big chunk of television sets in this entire country.
And from what you just said, you'd tell them to go Miami and not Florida State.
Absolutely.
Because of the market.
Miami is spending right now to try and get back to relevance.
Exactly.
They just hired Crystal Ball from Oregon, and they're spending big-time dollars bringing five-star recruits in. I say that.
Well, there's money down there, and they're going to act like Texas. The NIL deals there are going to be out of the world.
Yeah, John Ruiz, the alumni, is, I mean, he's been all but open. He's announcing the new commitment for these guys that he is essentially paying off with multi-year deals and cars and everything else.
Yeah, so, one day when we have nothing else to do, I'll tell you about my time in Miami when those guys were in their heyday.
Talking about the Playboy All-American shoot.
I thought living in Austin when you're good is large. Are you kidding me?
Don't say a story, but what's a name that pops into your head when you think about that?
About Testaverde?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
How about this trifecta? Testaverde, Bosworth, Ward.
Oh, it's massive.
It was a huge night.
It's massive.
It's crazy.
Nobody's coming home safe from that one. No.
No way.
A lot of heavy, heavy drink tabs on that one.
Whew. Not paid for by that group, by the way.
How much wine were you drinking that night?
There was no wine back then. Are you kidding me?
Was that the Playboy All-American team festivity?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was freaking out of control in a great way.
That is fantastic.
Those guys own that town.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen... Again, you come from Austin and you're Texas. You feel like you're the pro team. You live like a pro guy. Nah, that was living like a pro player on steroids at that time, when they were in their place, in their heyday, and there was stupid money all around.
So let's
crazy money.
Yeah,
I see what you did there, by the way, on steroids while hanging out with Bosworth.
Yeah. I have no idea if it was legal. I assume most of it was not legal, but it was a wild week.
Oh, it had to be.
We couldn't shoot the picture on the first day because
somebody
was
missing.
Yeah. Well, no, somebody was missing. So we show up, got everything. You know, it was a big party. Jimmy Johnson's the coach. I mean, all this stuff's going on. And we live large for a couple of nights, and we couldn't shoot the first picture because someone was missing, and they finally found him somewhere else in a stolen car.
Wow.
Who was missing?
Someone.
That is fantastic.
Very famous.
That's incredible.
What year was this? What?
87, 8, somewhere in there.
87 all Playboy team.
Yeah.
Detective Elling's going to try to figure this out.
There are too many criminals there. You're never going to figure it out.
Oh, wow.
I was the only guy that wouldn't steal a car.
All right, let me ask you this question.
What am I saying? The rest of them had cars.
Let me ask you, while he's looking that up.
I had to take the hotel shuttle everywhere.
If I'm going to bring this back to Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC,
yeah,
based on what's going on right now, if you are the SEC and you got your media days coming up on, what did I look it up? July 26th, I believe it is.
Pass.
Excuse me, July 18th.
I pass.
On July 18th through the 21st, do you plan on making an announcement about Texas and Oklahoma and, you know, is it you're going to try to move up them getting in the conference? Or are you doing what you're talking about and you're talking to all these other options and you're saying nothing right now?
I mean, my guess is probably nothing is going to be said, which is just bizarre to me. Someday someone's got to have a deal. I guess nothing's going to be said.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what the point is.
What's the point to announce it, you mean?
Well, even get together. Who cares?
Well, these media days for all conferences just became so weird.
That's the only interesting thing now, but I wouldn't go if I was Oklahoma or Texas, whatever. So what would I need who cares?
If you're sarking these players, you're going to show up. They don't want to talk about football. Media is going to show up wanting to talk about the future of college football.
Correct.
Not the actual season coming up.
As well we should, because it's the story of the day. It's the story of the next 3 years. It's the thing about this week is it's exactly what I think we all knew was coming. It just happened in a really chaotic, kind of nonsensical way, right?
Yeah, because
I'm going to say it again. I still think they would never say this. They would never admit this, and I can't even – I'm just giving you my opinion that if I were Texas, I think, bummer. I wish we would have done that Big Ten thing. They would never say that. But I'm just saying, as a advertising professor and a person who I think has a lot of love for Texas, I would like to have seen that deal happen. I know football fans are going to say, oh, it's the best league. I'm just saying it's just a better fit. I think
I have a
Everyone
guess.
Everyone will disagree.
I think I have a guess. I'm sorry. I've blocked you both out for the last 5 minutes.
I will tell you one other bizarre story. So
can I guess first? Alonzo Highsmith.
No. Incorrect.
Okay.
He might have been missing, but it wasn't exactly that story.
Okay.
Maybe another reason.
So it's early in the morning. Whatever. I don't know. I'm in bed. Let's start there.
Yep.
So, door's kind of shoved open. Friend of mine, roommate, got boxes. I mean, boxes of stuff. What is all that? I went to the jewelry store.
Mm.
Huh. You sure? Why'd you do that? Well, they said we could shard stuff to the company.
Oh, no.
The next day at this banquet, the head of marketing for Playboy gets up there. You know, there's this, it's all sex appeal and all that. I don't mean that in a sex kind of way. It's just it was a very flashy time in college football.
Sure.
Marketing director, you know, they send him up there. You could tell he's had a great move. I just want to notify the players if you could please stop charging jewelry to the company. Guys were...
Wow. So they're charging jewelry to the Playboy company.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Who's basically charging it to
right that guy right
look
there.
At that handsome
look at that
devil, Chad.
How preppy can you get? Huh?
Look at that handsome devil right there.
Yeah, look at there. That's what
look
I'm talking about.
Bloodshot eyes and everything.
Come on. That guy's getting in the grotto.
Hey.
That guy's going to make it into the grotto if he wants to. Come on
if
now.
If he wants to. Who's your teammate there? 95?
He would have been. Oh, man, what a player. William Harris. He was 6'6", about 240, recruited by everybody on the planet to play basketball, was a sophomore, I think caught 40 passes, torched Penn State, flunked out not long after.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
That's tough. Well, that was hard to do back in that era of college football.
Trust me, that's the front end of the story here. I mean, to get kicked out when you're that good. I mean, this was first five picks written all over. Mm-hmm. That kind of freakish player.
So you really have to put the effort in to do that.
You got to really kind of mess up.
That's tough.
You really, really, at those days, you really got to mess up. I mean, headless bodies kind of stuff. And even then, you couldn't
even
get rid
then. Of if you want to check out, I'm sure there'll be no headless bodies over on the east side for the after hours event at Pernalis Station Studios. It is a week from tomorrow on the 13th. If you want your tickets, go to @JeffWardShow on Twitter. Get those tickets. There'll be a lot of good stuff going on, including the game Get Inside Jeff's Brain.
Yeah.
That'll be going on that night. Nobody knows the subject matter until that night, correct? They have to guess what you're thinking, but it's right on the spot.
Yeah. It's a match game.
Match game, but no advance notice.
In a weird, politically incorrect kind of way, yeah.
And you're going to be playing Richard Dawson.
No, you're matching me. I'm the contestant.
It's you. That's right. You're going to be doing your best Jeff Ward / Richard Dawson with a little bit of
wine. Worst rock and roll song of all time. Go.
There you go. Okay.
Worst rock and roll song of all time. He's asking you.
Yeah, go. It's match game.
It's Nickelback something. I don't know. It's got to be. No.
It's too easy.
Yeah, it's probably too easy.
Hotel California.
Wow.
Shut up. What the hell was that?
Wow. Easy there, dude.
What kind of move was that?
Boy, that was significant.
The worst cover, speaking of which, of all time. Do you know who covered Hotel California?
I don't.
No.
Rascal Flatts.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, chubby boy band is what I call them.
Ooh.
Bunch of fat guys in leather pants. That's the worst band ever made.
Mine would be
ever.
Vanilla Ice covering the Stone Satisfaction.
He did?
Yeah.
Huh?
He was supposed to be in my show.
That was brutal.
And they remember that deal? They canceled it or whatever. He was going to play at.
Yeah.
Was it COVID?
Were they going to Hotspot with that show?
Hotspot. Yeah. Or the HEB Center. It was somewhere up in Cedar Park.
They covered that?
I'm pretty sure.
How do you know that? I knew a lot of random stuff.
No, it was just one of those, when you're big, you can kind of do anything you want.
How did they let that happen?
That's a good
question. They have good lawyers. There's no way they would let that happen.
He also had a horrific song called I Love You that I remember from back in the day. Just a horrifically bad song. But I'm pretty sure it was Satisfaction that he covered tortured it.
I know Rascal Flatts, who I think is just, I think they're the devil, actually. That's how badly I hate them. Covered Hotel California.
I've not heard that cover.
It's just a piece of garbage music.
And wow. How about that? All right. We took a turn there at the end.
Just an extension of my hatred for the Eagles, And that's the song that I think epitomizes them.
He's playing Lebowski over there.
What just
happened? He doesn't like the Eagles.
The freaking Eagles, man.
He's going
urinate on the flag?
He's going Lebowski on you.
What are you doing
he's
over
one
there?
Of those guys.
Some would argue the opposite.
That's flat out un-American.
That is Jeff Ward, ladies and gentlemen. Check out JeffWardShow.com and go @JeffWardShow on Twitter to get your tickets for the After Hours event. We'll have one more chance to talk to him about it on next Tuesday, right before it happens. It's a week from tomorrow over there on the east side. Check it out. Up next, we'll tell you about the latest UT commit. The list is up to 18 in the 2023 class. And yes, this one does address the defensive line. We'll tell you who he is on the horn.
It's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here?
There we go.
Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years.
Yes, sir. Texan Tuesday.
We need to change.
You got this one, right?
Oh, boy. This is going to turn into a bit of a Isaac Hayes, Barry White guess for me, because I feel like I get these two mixed up all the time.
Okay.
Waylon Jennings.
Very good. Well done. Who's the other one you were battling with?
Merle Haggard.
Okay. Yeah, this would definitely be Waylon. I cannot remember which. Is he a West Texas guy?
Littlefield, Texas.
Littlefield.
I don't know where that
I'd
is.
I'd have to look up exactly where that is. Waylon Jennings joining the crew today.
Northwest of Lubbock.
Okay, so there you go. There you go. That's northwest of Lubbock. That's still got to be considered West Texas. So I think I was right there. Waylon, Buddy Holly, and SRV starting us off today. All Texans on a Tuesday, and we hope you are having a good Tuesday after your hopefully long weekend from the 4th of July. We hadn't mentioned it in the show yet, but certainly just a horrible situation outside Chicago yesterday. Obviously, we always make the joke about Trey living in Chicago and drink up and all that. It's an incredible city. Trey, you know so many people that are still there. My buddy Rick that I always talk about, they make a trip every year up to Michigan and end up in Chicago sometimes. I was freaked out that they might have gone to that parade. Mm-hmm. They did not. But just a horrible story. Multiple people dead, many others injured in a shooting at an, of all things, a 4th of July parade just outside of Chicago. Just a horrific situation.
Apparently this sick individual had been planning this for several weeks now. It's just, it's heartbreaking. It's tragic on so many different levels. And this person responsible is still alive. I think the police did apprehend him, not killing him in the process. So hopefully we can learn some answers as to what is so wrong with this person that they would want to ruin the lives of so many random people they had no connection with. It's sad, man.
It really is. Really is. So that was obviously a terrible part of the weekend. Hopefully you had some good parts of your weekend. We're talking lots of college football today with the realignment discussion. We will continue to do that. And technically here we're talking college football in a way. It's our flex segment. We'll talk high school headed to college. Longhorns add another commitment. Here we go.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com.
FLXATX.com. Check out the All Flex watch lists, players around the area that you maybe should keep an eye on. Certainly remember, if you think we've missed somebody on those lists, send us your videos, send us your comments, send them your pictures there. FlexATX.com. Follow them at FlexATX on social media. And so the 18th member, Trey, of the 2023 class for Texas is a defensive tackle. Last week we had a couple of fans saying, wait a second, what about, I know the offensive line's looking good. What about D-line? What about the tackling part? What about trying to stop people? Well, this is a 2023 defensive tackle, 6'6", 340 pounds. His name is Sydir Mitchell. Sydir on that first name. He is from New Jersey, goes to a private school up there. I see him listed as a 4-star, Trey, and you always want to know the list. He has picked Texas over A&M, Auburn, Georgia, Arkansas, Michigan, and USC, among others.
Miami apparently in the running, too, and that matters in 2022, Chad, because they are paying some dough to get good recruits to South Florida. Yeah, he is a mountain of a teenager. Honestly, probably carrying a little bit of bad weight right now, considering he's his age. He is 17 years old. But based on that list, the star rankings, and I'm guessing their assessment of watching his game film, he seems like a clear-cut take right now. And this Texas recruiting class just continues to build on what is already pretty incredible momentum. They are consensus top two or three right now in terms of team recruiting for the class of 2023. And I'm guessing this won't be the last commitment before the football seasons get going here in a couple months.
I think that's probably accurate. I do not see Bama on his offer list, but that is the only massive name I was looking for that I really didn't see. But a nice mix across the country. Again, being a New Jersey kid, you can understand how Michigan might be interested. And heck, now, Trey, USC is going to be a Big Ten school. So, of course, they're going to be looking in New Jersey. But Sydir Mitchell, the latest addition to the Longhorn 23 class. And I would tell people, as somebody who's now watched 10 seasons of my college football team in the SEC, I've been talking blocking and tackling for pretty much my whole life, but especially these last 10 years. But Trey, having badass D tackles is, I'm not going to say it's critical, but it's extremely helpful.
Oh, it's critical.
it is really helpful when you can and I watched this kid, some of the film I watched on him this morning. I mean, he's throwing dudes around at the high school level. You got to find the guys that can do that, the space eaters that can get in the middle, mess things up for the offense enough, free up those linebackers, and just be a badass. That's what that SEC is about on the defensive line. And even at some of the smaller schools, it's not just the high-profile schools. There are badass D-tackles all over that conference. You got to have a few of them if you want to hang out.
You need your defensive linemen and defensive tackles specifically in the SEC to do a couple of things. And this is kind of echoing the sentiment that you just said. You need them to be able to take on multiple blockers at once. And occasionally you need them to be able to generate that organic pressure where you're not having to commit too many other guys to getting after the quarterback on obvious passing downs.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And then nowadays that we're seeing the Aaron Donald types coming along, you also – sometimes if you get the right combination of things, you can sometimes get those freaky J.J. Watt's another example of a guy that can come up the middle, disrupt, and he can also deflect passes.
He bounces around the line, too, where he's not stuck on that one spot.
Right, you might move him around a little bit. That's an interesting guy to take a look at. So 6'6", 340, and for those of you that are worried about defensive line and you wanted Texas to address it, there's one guy with a verbal commitment. Still waiting on some big names in the 23 class as Texas continues to get some big-time attention there. Now, again, staying with college football, we've been talking realignment today. Trey, let's get into a little bit of the Notre Dame discussion because I heard the morning guys talk about it today. You mentioned it today that as we're watching all these dominoes fall, I say all these dominoes, USC and UCLA going Big Ten. Jeff Ward was just in here and referenced Notre Dame and started talking Big Ten. So for you, are you still in that in of the opinion that Notre Dame is going to have to pick a conference here and not and they can't go forward as an independent?
I think that it would behoove them to pick a conference. They are going to be want to be attached to somebody. Now, is that ultimately going to be a requirement for them to get to participate in whatever the whatever form the college football playoff takes that's going to involve both the SEC and the Big Ten in the next 3 to 4 years? Probably not, but they're also denying themselves, I think, an enormous payday if they choose to stay away from either the SEC or the Big Ten. And I have to agree with Jeff that it seems right now like the obvious choice for Notre Dame is to stay in Big Ten country. I mean, they're in northern Indiana.
They live there.
They are essentially that Chicago market. I understand that Northwestern is in the northern part of that community, but Notre Dame is Chicago, so you are knocking several things out at once by getting Notre Dame into the Big Ten. And by the way, how many natural rivalries does Notre Dame already have in the Big Ten that you can continue to placate to?
1, 2, 3.
Considering USC now, too.
4, 5 off the top of my head.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
Michigan, Purdue, USC.
I didn't even think of Purdue. You're right about that one. I thought of Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, USC. All teams I'd be interested in seeing them play.
It just makes too much logistical sense. But then again, you can't count on logistical sense with all of this, I guess, because USC and UCLA are now part of the Big Ten, too.
So I'll make a similar argument that I used to make about Texas and Notre Dame. When I would think about Texas going into the Big Ten or those two trying to make a game, I always thought, what if you could have a college football game that Chicago and Dallas – like we're interested in equally, or Chicago and Houston, however you want to look at, pick your Texas city. But in this case, could you come up with, that's what's beautiful about Notre Dame USC. It's a college football game that the cities of Chicago and LA are both really into. So could you create that situation as a Big Ten event? My whole life, Notre Dame has always felt like a Big Ten team to me. The one game I love that they play, that used to play every year Michigan. That I think they always should play is Michigan. Yeah. So that's always felt a little more Big Ten than ACC to me. They don't quite fit there, but they do have some kind of agreement with the ACC right now. I don't know how easy that is to break. I'll still bring those media rights up again, but they're Notre Dame. They're powerful enough. They could probably get out of anything they want and get into anything. If I think Jeff is right on that too. If the Big Ten ends up with a USC get and a Notre Dame get out of this version of realignment, that's pretty big time.
There was a question that I wanted to ask Jeff, but we ran out of time on, so maybe you and I will talk about it a little bit more coming up after 2, although we are speaking with Joe Cook at 2 o'clock. So maybe we'll ask him this question as well. But you and I cringed at the thought last week when we started reading the reports that were just flying all over the place on Thursday with regards to what was about to happen with college football and these major conferences. And the idea was floated by, I think, Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic, where she's talking about these major conferences taking on 20 to 22 teams each.
Oh, jeez.
Which just seems ridiculous to me. It
We're
seems
22
like
22 now?
Yeah, you're trying to shoehorn too many teams in a conference where the concept behind conferences is something that required less teams than that. Like 16 feels like an absolute ceiling for me. So the question becomes, how many teams is too many when you're talking about these mega conferences that are beginning to form as we prepare ourselves for this next era of college football?
It's a great question. We'll continue to talk about that. Give us your thoughts. The Specs text line is 337-3776. Joe Cook, as Trey mentioned, coming up at 2:05 from Inside Texas and on 3.com. We'll talk to him about Sadir Mitchell and the Longhorns recruiting, and they are still rolling with this 23 class after Arch Manning got a lot of momentum started. Up next, where are we at in society? Trey will let us know. Don't move. It's the Horn. All right, it's all Texans today on the show. Trey, you got a guess here?
Do you have a guess? Do you have a guess?
I really do not. Let me... That editing makes me want to cry, but I also don't want to have a job, so I understand. I do not have it, no.
Fat Pat?
Cameron?
Not that Pat.
Damn.
What do you got, Cam?
Mike Jones.
Oh,
Mike Jones.
Should have played Pat Pat.
And where's Mike from?
Houston, Texas.
All right.
We got Slim Thug and Paul Wall on this beat. Still tipping one of the best songs coming out of Houston, Texas. All three guys from very Houston, good. Texas.
Mike Jones, very polarizing.
Really?
In the world of hip-hop, yeah.
Okay.
Especially in H-Town.
Some he's really either, like, some really don't?
Some love him, some think he's a clown.
Oh.
Got a lot of beefs.
Where are you on that discussion, Cameron?
I love Mike Jones.
You dig it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike Jones joining Waylon Jennings, Buddy Holly, and SRV on your All-Texan Tuesday. As far as the musical side, we will continue to discuss this college football stuff. Somebody sending a text about the ACC being locked in until 2037. That's going to become part of the discussion because I know I didn't make that up, Trey, that the media rights deal that the ACC signed goes a long time. It trapped Florida State and Louisville in the last couple years. In a way, could it trap Notre Dame because they're kind of an ACC team? I don't know. I don't know everything that was signed, but that's something to keep an eye on as well.
So one of the things that I keep reading does have to do with the ACC as well, and it's that the ACC, they signed their souls away for entirely too long at too low a rate. So the amount that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are supposed to be bringing in that is leaving some of the bluer-blooded programs in those respective conferences looking for new homes, the ACC is dealing with that now too. So you know, a Clemson, a Miami, a Florida State, a UNC. I mean, pick a school up and down that Eastern Seaboard. They're probably a little bit ticked right now that they are going to be doubled up, if not more, by the Big Ten and the SEC for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's going to be wild to see where all this goes. We're talking about that today. We'll get Joe Cook's thoughts on not only that, but some Texas recruiting as the Longhorns added another verbal commitment over the weekend with a D tackle out of New Jersey, speaking of the Eastern Seaboard, named Sadir Mitchell, 6'6", 340. So we'll get into that discussion too. Right now, it is where are we at in society. Let's see where Trey wants to go today.
Where are we at in society today?
Going to call Student Loan Payment Lawn Care, the sponsor of today's Where Are We At in Society. Go to slplawncare.com to get yourself on the schedule for Jake and his guys. They are the best in the landscaping business here in Central Texas. We go to Thailand for today's story, Chad, where two women have been arrested for allegedly attempting to smuggle at least 109 live wild animals in their luggage.
Wow.
Yes.
109?
109.
If they're not microscopic, this is really impressive.
Okay, try porcupines, armadillos, turtles, chameleons, and snakes.
Wow.
Yes.
What did that inspection look like?
The incident occurred Monday at Bangkok's main airport as two Indian women tried to make their way through airport security when officials spotted a couple of suspicious items in their suitcases following a routine X-ray inspection. Upon further investigation, authorities discovered two white porcupines, which aren't small, two armadillos, nasty. Why are you traveling with armadillos?
These are full-size animals?
Full-size animals.
Adult animals.
35 turtles, 50 chameleons, and 20 snakes.
Wow. Now, I'm assuming the 50 chameleons just stood really still and they didn't see them. Right? couldn't see the chameleons.
Great dad joke there. I enjoyed that one. I don't
did
know
you bring 50 did. Small bags with you? No, those are the chameleons. They're just chilling out.
Oh, man. The two women were arrested, taken into custody, and charged under Thailand's Wildlife Preservation and Protection Act, the Animal Epidemic Act of 2015, and the Customs Act.
All right, let me ask a question. Obviously, I don't know the answer to here. I'm trying to learn. What kind of money is there in moving armadillos?
I don't know, but let me just go ahead and show you real quick what we're working with here.
Do we have?
Like, they're trying to go through airport security with what looks like a small laundry bin that has a top to it, where clearly there are holes for an animal to breathe through.
And I'm assuming you can smell that hay that I'm seeing.
I was just about to say, right? You can smell the hay. You can smell the animal.
Oh.
You can smell the leprosy on that armadillo.
I'm guessing,
here's one of the white porcupines.
Oh, my God.
How did you think you were going to get away with this? It's like you're not even trying.
109. That is unbelievable. See, that trumps my dad's story when he was a kid where the little brother of a friend tried to steal 47 Hershey bars from the drugstore because he tried to stuff them all in the shirt and he had corners poking out. Just stupid, right? Why would you steal 47 of them? In this case, why are you trying to move 109 animals through the airport? One of those animals you just showed me would be tough to move through an airport.
Bucket of turtles right there for you.
Okay, now at least explain the 30 turtles. Those are little bitty turtles.
They are tiny turtles, but are you really trying to go through airport security with what looks like a beach bucket?
I think you're going to try to convince people that's just jewelry. Yeah, you know, those are paperweights. Those aren't real turtles. What are you talking about?
I was just at the beach. I got a bunch of turtle paperweights.
Oh, my God.
That is disgusting.
Dude, that's a whole nother level. How do you get involved in that, too? How do you get involved to the point where you got somebody, obviously they're willing to pay you, but now you're involved in moving animals where it's like, all right, what do we got to move today? 109. 109? Yeah, we got turtles. We got armadillos. We got
snakes.
You're right. Trying to move. And then, you're trying
porcupines.
To move snakes. Tell me the snakes are not poisonous. They're not moving poisonous snakes in an airport, are they?
It doesn't say in this article, but at this point, I wouldn't be all that surprised. It's not like armadillos are clean creatures here.
No, they're filthy, too. Yeah, that's a wild. Why in the world would you be moving animals like that?
One more wild animal story before we hit the commercial break. All Joe right. Cook coming up on the other side to talk about Longhorn recruiting fortunes and also share his thoughts on the ever-changing college football landscape. We go to Long Island for this next one, Chad, where beaches have reopened for the 4th of July, one day after a lifeguard was attacked by a shark while teaching a class on shark safety.
Oh, my God.
We have that sad irony.
That's bad.
The incident occurred at Smith Point, where an unidentified lifeguard was pretending to be a shark attack victim during a training exercise. As he flailed about in the water, a real shark swam up and bit him in the chest and hand.
Wow.
His current condition has not been revealed. After Long Island's beaches were closed on Sunday, while authorities used drones to scan the area for sharks, they were reopened at 10 a.m. on Monday, just in time for July 4th.
I got to tell you what, I know you're a fan of a good bit. If that's a bit, if that's a work, and he sets it up to where the shark attacks him every class, I bet that class really, really sticks with the students.
Does it, or are people afraid to go to that beach for a while?
That could be a hell of a move.
Maybe they were just trying to knock down the crowds for July 4th.
Maybe that's
they knew
what
some dumbasses would still go out there, even if there was a shark sighting in the area.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. That's awful. Is he okay?
Condition has not been identified, so maybe it is a bit. Maybe this lifeguard just disappears. Really? We don't ever hear anything else about the guy because he's not real.
Okay, when I give you the hand signal, release the shark. Send him my way. We're going to freak this class out. It's going to be awesome. We'll teach them a lesson.
I can't help but
focus.
I can't help but to think about the scene in The Simpsons. God, this was many years ago where I think it was Homer swims up with a shark fin on his back and scares everybody in the water. They run out of the water, and he stands up, and he laughs, and then another shark fin comes up, and Homer freaks out and runs out of the water, and it turns out to be Bart. Although this time it wasn't two fakers.
This time it was actually a shark.
It's a faker and a real guy.
Man, now that's the ultimate story to tell, assuming you got out of it okay. But you're right. As soon as that class is over, I'm assuming that class obviously is occurring out into the water a decent distance. Assuming I get back to the beach, right? And I get back to wherever I'm going, two things are happening. One, I'm never going back in the ocean, probably ever again. And two, I'm having a lot of drinks, and I'm telling that story as much as possible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to retell that story forever.
By the way, do we really need shark attack training at beaches?
Well, and do you need to do it in the water?
Yeah, do you need to fake anything there? Or can you just talk to somebody about what they should be doing if they get attacked by a shark?
Can I go into a room or onto the beach and you just tell me? Tell me what I need to know.
Right.
Do we have to be in the water at that point?
I feel like this can be treated like defensive driving.
That's why I'm thinking it might be a work. That's why I'm thinking this might be his pet shark. Lenny the pet shark is helping him out.
Yeah, if there aren't some eyewitness reports of this guy soiling himself, then this is a total work.
Oh,
a total job.
God, that is a crazy story. All right, there you go. Be careful in the water, kids, because even the shark instructor might not know that there's an actual shark moving about. Up next, your 2 o'clock hour at 2:30. We'll get into why July 5th matters and a little bit of the 4th. What two sports icons share a July 4th birthday? We will tell you. Up next, it's Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com. Longhorns added defensive tackle to the 2023 verbal commitment list, and college football is changing by the second again. This round of realignment, what does it mean in the Pac-12, and what will the Big 12 do in response? We'll talk to Joe about it up next on The Horn.